All right, well, she's back with us. Friend of the show. She's kicking it on the Symetra Tour, but not for much longer.
Winner, winner.
Chicken dinner. Madeline Sagstrom, 3-time winner on the Symetra Tour, joins us. What's up, Madeline?
Not much. Just chilling and just getting back to real life, I guess.
Yeah, so third win of the season, and ordinarily that gets you the Battlefield promotion, but there aren't any events on the LPGA that's left that are full field, are there?
Yeah, no, unfortunately it's not. So I will be playing my last Symetra Tour event and heading for LPGA for next year.
So you're going to play one more Symetra event or both?
No, I'm not playing this week, but I'll be heading to Daytona this weekend and I'll play this final.
So you can be there for the final, get your card. Now, did you already pick up your Player of the Year award?
Yes, not the award itself, but it's safe on the money list. Yes, it's safe now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth noting. I mean, we had you on earlier in the year after you'd won two of the first five, and then you struggled here in Charlotte. The only cut you missed, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But we had you on, and we were looking forward to this third win, and now it's come. But also, you know, the 14 tournaments that you've played have put you in a position that you obliterated the earnings for the year, you know, the annual earnings for a Symetra Tour player this year. You've got that third win. You're going to finish top of the card, even with an event, with two events to go. Is this exactly how you planned it out?
Absolutely not. I still remembered sitting in California the first week and was really uncomfortable. So it was not really, I couldn't dream about this. It's been much more than I could ever dream about, for sure. It's pretty unbelievable, and I am starting to realize it, but it hasn't really hit yet.
Mm. All right, so I know you have one Symetra Tour event left, the Symetra Tour Championship, but you already have to be thinking about the plan for 2017 LPGA Tour. Have you thought about events that you want to try and get into, scheduling, travel, caddies, all that stuff?
I'm waiting for the schedule to come up so I can start looking into it, but right now I'm just really focusing on the Tour Final because I want to go out there and just play really well. I have a bunch of people that I know coming out to watch, so I would like to put a little show off there. My mom's coming in town for that. So right now my focus is to prepare as good as I can for next week, and I'm going to take next year whenever the schedule comes out and all that stuff. But I've thought about it a little bit, yes, for sure.
I mean, you're going to go from, you know, being a rookie on the Symetra Tour to actually, and one of the things that we talk about a lot is, you're going to hire a caddy. And there's going to be somebody whose ability to put food on the table is somehow linked to the way you play golf. Is that something you expected to have to deal with being an employer as young as you are?
No. I haven't hired it all this year. So that's our third event. We've been working together all year, and it's definitely different having somebody that you're responsible for. It's a very different world, but it's been a lot of fun, and we're a great team.
All right, so as you think about, you know, the possibilities of next year, I mean, you have a fellow Swede who is one of the all-time greats in the LPGA Tour. Have you had a chance to talk to her, or will you try and seek her out maybe for some advice, Miss Sorenstam?
I do talk to her. I talk to her. We have an email contact sometimes. So I will definitely reach out to her because I think it's going to be a little different next year. Symetra wasn't like I expected it. I don't think LPGA will be like I expected either. So I'll definitely talk to her for advice for sure.
Well, and except for showing up those first few weeks on the Symetra Tour and not knowing what was going on and, you know, the whole table for one where nobody, you don't seem to know anybody or feel that comfortable, what other things surprised you? What surprised you throughout the season that about being on the Symetra Tour that was, you know, different from junior golf, different from golf at home, and different from golf at LSU?
Yeah, no, it's very different. Like, it's when you're in college, and when I played for a national team, like, every tournament was so important because that was the only one, and then you went home and had a few weeks break. You can have, in Sweden, we even had, months of break until our next event. So you really just, was so pumped up for this one event, and here you kind of have to, maintain your energy throughout the year because you play so much. And I haven't even played that much, and I'm still feeling it. But it's a very different mentality, and you're done, you'd be like, okay, see you tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've played 14 events, And obviously you came out really strong, tied for third, tied for second, that got your first win in the third event of the year, and then tied for fifth, first, cut, second, and we all know how the rest of it went. Now, was that your intent from the very beginning to play 14, 15, 16 events, or did your success give you an opportunity to maybe back that down a bit? Or you know, and had you maybe not done quite so well, would you have played? Would you have been one of those people out there 18, 19, 20, 22 events?
I was definitely planning to play a lot more. I was planning to have a full schedule, maybe just missing a couple where we had long stretches. But I was fortunate enough to be able to get a trip back home to Sweden for a few weeks, and I was able to ask for an invite to LPGA, and I also got into the Open. So I was fortunate to bump my schedule around a little bit to really figure it out, like, how many weeks in a row I can play and what is necessary for my body and mind to be on top, for sure. So, but I was planning to play a lot more.
Well, you know, and as you look at the transition with regard to your golf game, I know, you know, the caddy thing and the travel and all that will come into play. But as you look at your game, you're second in driving distance. And it used to be that one of the things that separated, you know, the different levels of play was distance. And I don't think that's not the case it once was. All of you guys are pretty long and pretty comparable to players on the next level. But when you look at your game and rounding it out, and you look at things you might want to adjust for 2017, you know, is the goal to play well enough that 2017 translates to 2018, or do you think you can go out there and your game is poised and positioned right now to really make an impact next year?
I believe my game is good enough. When I'm on my best, I believe I can compete with the girls out there. So I'm not going to go out next year and really just hoping to make cuts. I'm going to go out there and stand on the first tee box and say, if I play my best, I can win this thing. I'm going to have that mindset, and then I'll see where that game is good. Nothing is really behind them. So I'm going to shoot everything up and just getting a little bit better at everything, and I think that is going to pay off in the long run.
Again, we're talking with three-time Symetra Tour winner Madeline Sagstrom. And, yeah, here's the thing. You look at your stats on the Symetra Tour. You know, second in average driving distance, 10th in greens in regulation, first in putts per green in regulation, putting average 9th. The one thing that jumps out at me a little bit is driving accuracy, 78th ranked, and sand saves, 54th ranked. Do you look at those stats, and does that help you realize maybe things that could use a little bit of extra time on the range?
Well, I see as driving accuracy goes together with distance, because I hit it a long way, so I don't really necessarily have to hit as many fairways because I have shorter clubs. I can go for par 5. So I kind of... I purposely make that choice of picking driver and hitting it a long way. So I put some rough in play and I put hazards in play sometimes, just because I feel like that is the way I like to play golf and it's really benefited me. So that one I'm not too worried about. And unfortunately, I don't hit it in enough bunkers, so I don't get enough practice when under pressure. So I need to get better at, like, really get up and down when it's under pressure. But definitely the short game is one a big part that I want to get better at, and that I'm putting a lot of effort into.
You are definitely the first professional golfer to join us who said, unfortunately, I don't hit it in the bunkers as often as I could in competition. I think you can practice that at the range maybe and not worry about getting better at it in competition. And, well, and when you look at your time on the range, how do you divide your time? When you go out there, when you're on the range, do you go through your entire litany of clubs? Or are you somebody who starts with an 8 and jumps around? How do you approach your practice on the range?
I'm a very technical player. I don't want to be as technical as I am, but I tend to stand and work a lot of mechanics. Like, I want it to look perfect. I want it to the numbers to be good in TrackMan. So I tend to stand and do that a lot. My 58 is really worn out from hitting on the range, and my 9-iron's getting there too. I don't really tend to jump around too much. But I'm getting better, and I'm getting better at practicing with my longer irons, longer woods and stuff too, because I tend to just get stuck on wedges and short irons. Because, well, my philosophy and my coach philosophy is just, if I can hit a wedge really good, it should translate to my driver and my longer irons too.
So do you find you're a very technical player in competition too? Are you constantly analyzing what you do, or do you save that just for the range?
Oh, yeah, you should listen to Josh. I can be like, was my rhythm okay? Did you see that with my hips moving too? Like, yeah, it tends to be, but when I know that when I play the best, my focus is more on other things. So I try to, like, I'm trying to be aware of it. But I also think that that's one of my strengths, though, because I'm never going to be pleased with what it looks like or how I hit the ball. Like, I always find things to work on. So it's a good and bad thing.
All right. I know I keep jumping to next year, and I know you have one more event that you want to focus on. But I there are some things that I like to know. So I know you probably set goals for yourself, and I know you'll be setting goals for the LPGA season coming up. Do you have a feel for, you know, what you're trying to accomplish out there? I mean, I know we all want to win, you know, want to win golf tournaments. You want to, you know, do well enough to retain your card. But is there any one thing that you focus on that says, hey, if I go out there and I do X, that's going to be a successful season for me?
Yeah, like this season, I've gone out to just learn as much as possible and to just feel good about myself. And I really feel like if I can bring that into next year and just become as good as I can get at my game, that's going to be enough for me, because I can't control what the other girls are doing. I can't control the wind. I can't control nothing like that. So I can only control those small stuff, like my emotions, my mindset coming into different rounds.
So will you
good plans?
So will you put the clubs away at all, or are you someone who will grind all the way through? I mean, will you take a week or two off from golf?
My tendency is to keep going, but I'm getting better at doing nothing. So that is the goal, and the goal this off season. But I'm actually going over to Europe to play LATQ school. So I have that in December. So I'm not really going to put my clubs up until like during Christmas. But I'll be fortunate to go back home for Christmas this year, and I'm excited about that.
Oh, so going through Let Q School, you're going to try and play both tours if at all possible?
I know that if I want to get – one of my biggest dreams is to play in the Solheim Cup, and to play on the European side, I have to be a member on the LET. So I want to go out there and give that a chance too, and see if I can have both in the air at the same time. I know the guys do that, so that is a new test and a good experience. So I'm going to go check it out and see what it's like.
Excellent. So how many stages do they have on Let Q School?
They have a pre-qualifier, and then they have the final qualifier. So I'm gonna be in Morocco for about 2 weeks, I believe.
Oh, Morocco for 2 weeks. Do you need a caddy?
Or maybe even three.
Oh, three. Do you need a caddy?
I think I actually got someone on the hook already.
All right.
Believe me, you don't want Mike caddying for you. Just trust me on that one. Right.
We'd
there.
Have fun, and we'd keep it loose. I can guarantee
you. You'd keep it loose. It'd be way loose. Too loose. Well, Madeline, we really appreciate you hopping on with us several times during the year. We hope that we'll get you back on next year, maybe after the LPGA season has started. You have a couple events under your belt, and we'll talk to you about how things are and how the experience is.
Definitely. That sounds a lot of fun.
Okay.
Enjoy talking to you guys.
We plan on doing it, and we plan on watching your success.
Thank you.